I'm Jackie Pierre.
I'm Joseph Plunta.
And we're two peas in a podcast at thecommentary.ca for Monday, February 27th, 2017.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So everyone this morning is talking about the Oscars because it's been, you know, everyone talks about the Oscars, I guess, but especially this morning because of what happened last night. They opened the envelope for Best Picture and there was a big screw up. I guess you were away from the...
I was away from the Oscars craziness.
Yeah.
I was out with my grandmother at a Black History Month event.
So we'll talk about that in a sec.
So, yeah, we'll talk about that in a bit. But, yeah, because I was out, I didn't really get all the updates other than, you know, your random, you know, your tweets every so often. But I was still trying to kind of save it up so I could watch them in sequence and put the pieces together.
it wasn't a bad show. I mean, Jimmy Kimmel did okay. I mean, he wasn't as good as, say, Hugh Jackman was years ago or Billy Crystal even. It was not as bad as Anne Hathaway and James Franco.
Well, he's new to this, right?
Yeah, he's hosted the Emmys and other things in the past.
Okay.
But this is his first Oscars,
The Oscars is, different crowd.
But the front page of the Boston Herald this morning is Follywood because of this big screw up with Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway reading the Best Picture winner. So from what I've been able to sort out from reading over the morning and so on is I guess when Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway walk out, he's holding the envelope for what he thinks is Best Picture. But the envelope that he has is Best Performance by an Actress, which is the award that Emma Stone won. And so he opens the envelope, and it says Emma Stone La La Land. And so he figures that it's a mistake, and he's buying time, I guess, because he's hoping that the producers will...
try and cut him, realize and...
And come run out and say, that this is the... you got the wrong envelope.
Here's the right one.
Yeah, so it turns out this was in one of the websites earlier this week, earlier in the week, that there are two accountants who get all the ballots and sequester themselves in a room, count all the ballots, and then type up the envelopes, and then they hold the envelopes to the Academy Awards. And they take them to the Oscars, and then they hand them to each presenter before
How many ballots are they counting?
Well, they've got about 5,000 members in the Academy.
Okay.
And so they're voting in 24 categories. So there are 24 envelopes. Now, each accountant, so there's a man and a woman.
Right.
Each of them have a set of envelopes. And they both stand on either side of the stage.
Okay.
And they both memorize the winners. And this question came up last week, and it's come up in previous years, is what happens if someone comes up on stage, reads the wrong name?
Mm-hmm.
So the accountant then quickly, and this is supposed to happen very quickly, but it's never happened in 89 years, so they've never had to invoke the system, is to alert a stage manager, and then they, I don't know, bring down the curtain or something like that, and then they they say that, no, there's been a mistake.
Basically so, shut it down right away.
Yeah, so this is what was supposed to happen, and it probably did happen, but what I found unfortunate was that the three producers from La La Land get up on stage, grab their Oscars, and then each of them make a speech. And so you're thinking it's about 2-3 minutes.
Yeah.
So they're tremendously gracious because they find out that there was a mistake. And the one producer, I can't remember his name now, Jordan Horowitz, I think was his name, because he's being lauded in the press today, was tremendously gracious in giving the Oscar over. And, so I tweeted last night that they're not going to have old people read present at the Oscars anymore, you know.
Well, maybe.
But
oh my!
And then Warren Beatty's getting beaten up because he saw that the envelope was wrong, hands it to Faye Dunaway, and then she reads it, right? So
he's like it's not my I'm not trying to be Steve Harvey.
Yeah, so he's throwing her under the bus. But,
yeah,
you know,
you can do it.
But I can understand why they have two sets of envelopes. But I mean, they really the I think what's at who's at fault here? The two accountants from Price Waterhouse.
Yeah.
Obviously, did not pay attention when they gave him the envelope.
Exactly.
So
the screw up.
So Leonardo DiCaprio presents Best Actress to Emma Stone.
Right.
Backstage, Oscar night, she says, "I had the envelope the whole time," because he gives her the statue. He's holding the envelope. And then as they're walking off stage, she's holding the envelope that says her name. You know, it's a nice souvenir for her, right?
Right.
Or for any winner. So she claims that she had the Best Actress envelope the whole time. So what Warren Beatty was given was obviously the second envelope.
Oh, my gosh.
But here's the other funny thing. So on Instagram.
Conspiracy theory.
On Instagram the whole night, actually on Twitter, one of the, because there's a male and a female accountant, the male accountant was tweeting from backstage, and then on Instagram, there was a shot of them backstage together. Mm. Now, if the policy is that one is on either side,
then how
why
are they
were
together?
They together on one side of the stage? So, so I think it's a Price Waterhouse screw up. I don't think it's a you know, it's not Warren Beatty's fault, and it's not Faye Dunaway's fault. It's and the producers obviously don't know who's going to win, because you're not supposed to know until they open the envelopes.
Right. So
you know.
Oh my gosh.
But anyway, as I've said here previously, I thought Moonlight was the better film, and one of the best films, I think, not only this past year but of the last 5-10 years.
Right, you were saying, and I'm still, you know, just waiting for the perfect day to watch that.
Well, you know, it's already a Best Picture winner, so it's probably,
it's actually,
you know,
coming
it's time
on,
now, yeah.
It's already on.
It's on Shaw On Demand now, I think.
Yeah, it's already on my Telus TV, I was going to say.
Yeah. But, I mean, La La Land is not a bad film. It's actually a good film, and I thought that he deserved Damien Chazelle. He's 32, by the way, so we're at a point now where the winner of Best Director is younger than we are.
It's younger than we are. What the hell does that say?
Yeah, so, I mean, he did a wonderful job with that, and I think with Whiplash, I think that's why people gave him the Oscar tonight. Barry Jenkins, who directed Moonlight, he won the Best Screenplay, so he got an Oscar. And then
his
film wins Best Picture, so it's...
Both hand in hand.
Yeah, so and it is one of those films that I think people will be watching years from now and saying what
and
a good film it is.
It'll be relevant.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, and then the other winners were Casey Affleck. He won Best Actor for Manchester by the Sea, which I think will really piss off Constance Wu, because she was campaigning against him. And Emma Stone, Best Actress for La La Land. Mahershala Ali for Moonlight, Best Supporting Actor. And then Viola Davis for Fences. Who Viola Davis gave one of the best speeches, I think, in Oscar history.
Okay, what did she get? Actress of the Year?
Best Supporting Actress, yeah, for Fences.
Okay.
Yeah. But see, here's the thing. This is the problem with the... Because they were saying that this was going to be a very political year with Trump and so forth. You know, the Trump ban on immigration and the wall. These are things that were brought up and got tremendous response during the show. Gael Garcia Bernal, the Mexican actor, he spoke out against the wall. A very dramatic moment. The best foreign language film winner was the Iranian filmmaker Asghar Farhadi. He's won 2 Oscars now for best foreign film.
Oh.
And he did not attend in solidarity with the people who are from those 7 countries who can't come to the United States.
Locked out, right.
So he had 2 people accept for him, and they are 2 astronauts of Iranian American heritage, and quite accomplished in their fields of space and science, and so they read his statement, and that got a great response. Justin Paul, one of the writers of Best Song of the Year, he spoke out in defense of arts education in public schools.
Oh, that's great!
Saying that he was a product of learning music and art in public school, and that needed to continue. And then Katherine Johnson, one of the scientists who is portrayed in Hidden Figures, she was wheeled out at 98 years old. Huge ovation. So these are great moments, great political moments that you know, are forgotten because of this whole Best Picture fiasco. Because those are all the headlines this morning, as you know.
Well, yeah, I think that's going to be. I don't think it'll last very long. The reality is it's just a cover up to divert our attention from what real issues are going on here. But whose
benefit is that? I mean, that's really for Trump's benefit, right? Because if you think about the wall, the Trump ban on immigration, these things would have, you know, as Jimmy Kimmel said in one of his jokes, is that, you know, these are things that he'd tweet about at 5 a.m.
Right.
when he's making his bowel movement.
Well, it all makes no sense to me. It just seems like, really, like you had one job. It's a really simple process, and I get it. Working with,
it's $1 million production. And
yeah.
They have, you know, they have, one of the guys from Como was tweeting the other day that they have to send his camera guy down to cover the Oscars for Como 4 in Seattle.
Right.
And the cameraman has to wear a tuxedo on the red carpet. He's not allowed to wear regular
clothes,
right?
That's going to cost him money.
So, I mean, this is a big-time Hollywood production.
Right, it's a big deal.
And
so they should have their shit together, basically.
Yeah.
What we're saying.
I mean, remember when Michelle Obama presented the Oscar a couple years ago? She was in Washington, and they had her with Jack Nicholson live on satellite.
Mm-hmm.
He had an envelope, she had an envelope, and it was seamless, right?
Well, why did you have two envelopes, though?
Well, I think the thing is, if she didn't get the envelope, he would have it, and he could open the envelope on stage there, right? And I think that's why they have two envelopes, because just in case one gets lost, right?
Right.
So, but anyway.
That's fair.
Yeah, so you were at a more important event last night. Sunday night.
Yes.
You were,
Yeah, so I was at a Black History Month event for the National, the abbreviation is, I'm getting them all mangled up in my head, but Women's Coalition for Black Women.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. It was at the Powell Theater down near the Weston Bay Shore.
You have to go up in an elevator. That's like a,
yeah.
It's not a nursing home, but it's a subsidized housing.
It's 85% of the building is rented out, is subsidized housing for older people who come from the arts.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a really interesting concept.
Yeah, I've had people on from Powell on the show over the years.
It's a great place. Yeah. I always really love the events that they have there. Anytime we do have events there or there's events to go to. It's a really cute little venue. So that's where this event was. It was, I wouldn't say small, but it was definitely a fair-sized venue. It was a night to basically remember Emery Barnes. And Angela Brown. Rosemary Brown.
We talked about Rosemary Brown a couple weeks ago.
All the time. We did a couple of weeks ago, just at the beginning of Black History Month. And like I was saying to you earlier, we talk about Rosemary quite a bit. But Emery Barnes has quite the history.
He was the first Speaker of the House.
First Speaker of the House.
Who's black,
Black Speaker of the House. He played in the NFL and the CFL.
Yeah.
He was a tall guy.
I met him once.
He was really
years ago.
Tall.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's from Louisiana and made his way all the way up to here in Vancouver to basically fight for social justice.
Yeah, and his daughter was on Parks Board for many years.
Absolutely, yes.
Constance Barnes, yeah.
Constance Barnes, who was also at the event tonight, so it was a pleasure to get to meet her as well.
Yeah.
She had mentioned that there's kids nowadays, or even just younger people, where she'll mention Emery Barnes Park, and people, and they're like, who's Emery Barnes? Like, they have no idea.
Yeah.
So, it's kind of sad for her, and I think saddening for those that are involved in the movement, or I think just knowing about your history and where you come from, and even just locally as Vancouverites, local politics, just some basic things we should know.
Yeah.
But it was a night to appreciate these two Black Canadian figures from our history. It was a really well-received reception. Lots of people came out. We had the Minister of Multiculturalism was there as well, which I didn't even know we had. So that was a...
From Victoria or from Ottawa?
From Victoria.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So that was nice to meet her as well. But overall, I think the biggest highlight for me was bringing my grandma with me, because, you know, talk about my grandma quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been so busy taking care of my grandpa in the last couple of years. So she hasn't gotten time much to go out and mingle like she used to and,
mm-hmm.
you know, see her people. And so tonight I brought her as my guest to this event, and she, you know, got to hear the history of her old friend Rosemary Brown and Emery Barnes. I hadn't known, but she was one of the people that fought to basically get Emery the seat that he did as the speaker. I know there was some things that went down behind the scenes, you know, of course, politics, but mm-hmm. She was a close acquaintance with him, too. So it was nice for her to come out and remember some old friends and to also meet up with some old friends. And she genuinely had a really good night. So that was refreshing for me. I don't get to take Grandma out.
Yeah,
very
it must have been nice for her, yeah.
Yeah, it was really nice for her, and, seeing, when you get to, when the grandparents or even the parents are, you know, enjoying their time with their friends, it's always nice to see that they can, you know, still have those interactions.
Yeah.
Gives you hope.
Say, does your grandma, did she know Laverne Barnes, who was Emery Barnes' ex-wife?
I didn't know that, and I don't know. I'm always shocked by what she does know and who she knows.
Yeah.
So,
I wonder if she has any stories, because I've heard stories about Laverne.
Well, I'm gonna engage that conversation with her now. I learned new stories today about Rosemary Brown. I think she said her husband or ex-husband, whomever now, is no longer living in Canada. So. You know, her daughter was there, and I don't think her son, I don't think he was present tonight.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was really great to see these people, their children, and to remember these past people in politics and to watch the videos of them speak and to watch them talk about what they basically are in the movement for and where they're looking to bring society, and it's... you know, unfortunately, but fortunately, in Rosemary's honor, you know, she wanted to really see a lot more progression for women.
Yeah.
Within the workplace and, you know, allowing mothers to be mothers, which we do get. We do get those accommodations. But I think the facts still remain around child care and the fact that, you know, I mean, at the time that this film that she made, it was, way back in I think it was the 70s, maybe even 80s, 500,000 homes in BC were single-parent homes.
Mm-hmm.
I could only imagine what those numbers are today.
Mm.
And most of those single-parent homes are typically women, right?
Yeah.
And typically as a result of that, some of them, I can't say all, but a lot of this comes down to precarious work and, jobs that are not able to, women are not able to feed their kids and families on. And so, you know, I think there's still a lot of work to be done. And seeing that film today just reminded me, I think, where my direction kind of in all of this is and where I kind of want to be. So
yeah, and you've campaigned over the years for affordable child care, right?
I've done, you know, just as a parent, I've campaigned over the years for affordable child care and more child care spaces. So, you know, I think as I kind of grow as an activist and kind of gain more knowledge in the political field and avenues and learn more, you know, I don't know what that looks like in my future, but I definitely know that, you know, I have a voice that I would like to be heard, and I just want to see more being done. You know, when I look at our public schooling system, when, you know, I think about even us as kids, we dealt with a lot in school with the system, not having even proper textbooks or enough textbooks,
mm-hmm.
class sizes. And you see, that's a systemic break, and it was generational. My kids have suffered it, my brothers, and I think it's unacceptable to let that continue any longer. So, I mean, full circle, to bring us back to the whole meaning of my discussion, I think it was just a night to reflect, and it was really refreshing and to remember again that it is, you know, essentially the last day of Black History Month will be tomorrow. So,
Tuesday, yeah. And Moonlight wins Best Picture.
Yeah, and so, you know, it's a great time right now, and I think, you know, at a time right now with so much going on in the world, it's no better time than now to really press the importance of our history. So
I was reading The Sun the other day, and it just reminded me, because you're talking about affordable child care. At Tupper, if you recall, there was the mini school where single... I don't know if they were all single, but
young mothers.
Yeah, so high school.
Young parent program.
Could they drop their kids off and the kids would be looked after, and then so that they could finish their high school.
Mm-hmm.
So right in The Sun the other day, because there was a new funding grant or something, and they said that there are, I'm making up the number now, it could either be 15 or 20, something like that, parents who have children, and they drop the kids off, and then they finish their high school, or they continue their high school. And so the figure was either 15 or, let's say it's 15. 15 parents, 14 of which were female, one male.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was wondering, how did that happen?
Well, the mother may have just given him...
To the father?
Full custody of it, yeah.
It's not a deal where the kid says, I want to adopt a kid, and...
High school. I mean, are you allowed? I think adoption in BC is crazy anyway. Mind you, but that being said, anything's possible, right? But I think typically...
Yeah, very level-headed, resourceful kid says, I want to adopt. And so, but I need to finish school, so I'll... But that's probably not, right? So this is probably a deal where the person who bore the child is not part of the scene.
Either it's not part of the scene, or another thought that came into my mind was that program may be available to that parent.
But so that's the male?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if he goes to, say he went to Tupper.
Yeah.
I don't know, and who knows?
Maybe so both the mother's
not in school or something.
Okay. Yeah.
But maybe it's just better accessibility for, you know, for the child to be in the father's care.
Yeah. So Saturday night I went to the Crazy Eights Film Festival. This is their, I can't remember the year now, the 18th or the 19th year. It's a film festival where they, you apply to make a film 8 minutes long. And you have to make it in 8 days or something like that. And you enter it in this competition, and then if you win, you win a prize. And then it helps people. They go on to make feature films and so forth. And so we saw six films, various subjects. Some were funny, some were not. Some were dramatic. And it was talented. You can just see the talent that we have in this community, young filmmakers. And then there was an after party at Science World, and again, you just see how busy this industry is. I guess because of our dollar being so low, there's a lot of productions coming to town, so a lot of jobs for people in that business. But at the same time, you're seeing young filmmakers who are coming out of the film school, the various arts programs and trying to make a go of it and doing quite well. I mean, I just watched, we watched the Oscars last night, and I wouldn't be surprised if years from now you'll be hearing from some of these filmmakers last night.
Right.
Coming together. And they're immersed in every aspect of filmmaking. So making the budget and getting the sets and the costumes, the scenery, the makeup, the props, and all that.
It's heavy work.
Yeah. And
a lot of work.
A lot of diversity, too. There was a young Vietnamese filmmaker, female, and then a young Korean male. And, you know, just a great variety of people. So, yeah, so if people get to go, and it's not a bad price either. It's I think it's $40. You get the ticket to get in to see the films. And then that gets you into the after party at Science World. So, you know, $40 bucks for a...
That's not bad at all.
For a Saturday night out. And so
Do they have food?
They have snacks, you know.
Drinks?
Yeah, you have to buy them. You know, you have to buy little tickets and...
Hors d'oeuvres.
Yeah. Yeah, you get those things. And you get to see Science World at night, which...
Well, yeah, I was wondering. I said, what the hell is this guy doing at Science World at this time of night?
And they everything, you know, they've got those water things. They're all running, so you get to see all that. So next year, yeah, people should check Crazy Eights out. This is my first year. My cousins who are in the film business who went last year and spoke highly of it. So I went. I had a guy on the show recently on it, so... It was good to see his film as well. So
you'd go again?
I'd go again. It's a fun Saturday night out. You get to see movies, and you get to go to this after party.
That's a great idea. I think I might be interested.
And, you know, they're in the film business. So they're, one of those previous Oscar winners a couple of years ago said, it's just disconcertingly attractive faces, you know?
Right.
So.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah. So there you go. And just as we're talking, I see PricewaterhouseCoopers has sincerely apologized for the Oscar mix-up, and we'll commence an investigation.
Oh, I thought you were just going to say they've gone completely under. Since the Oscars.
Somebody's going to get fired over this.
Somebody,
you know what I mean?
Definitely, yeah. Yes.
Well, we'll see who gets fired next week.
Hey, yeah, you never know, right?
Yeah.
Something to watch out for. It makes for good news, though, doesn't it? That's Two Peas in a Podcast for Monday, February 27th, 2017.
In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Planta.
And I'm Jackie Pierre. We'll be back in 7 days.